A year ago today, Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico. The storm displaced thousands of U.S. citizens from the island to the mainland. But few federal resources were available, and cities all over the country were not prepared. 1 year after the storm, many Puerto Rican evacuees remain in limbo. Philadelphia was able to relocate evacuees faster than other cities. And as Plan Philly's Catalina Jaramillo reports, it's now considered a model.
Hello, bienvenida.
It's Monday night, and Lidia Adorno is cooking pasta with her two adult kids in their new home. 3 days ago, they moved into this row home in a public housing complex in North Philly, and packed boxes and suitcases lay on the floor. Brian Rosario is the oldest. He's 23.
Since November 22, this is the first time we sit down on the table and just relax and enjoy the meal without paying attention to stress.
That's because they haven't had a home since November. That's when they came from Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria.
This is the stairs, this is the second floor.
This house has three rooms and a bathroom, and it feels like a relief. For months, they all stayed in one room in an aunt's house where 10 other people were living.
This is my room.
Diane is 20 years old. She says she really missed those little things we usually take for granted, like hanging her clothes in a closet, taking her time in the bathroom, or just spending time with her brother, her mom, or her dad with no one else around.
I love my cousins, but you know, there's privacy, like family privacy.
This last year has been a hard one for them, but finally, they're starting a new life. Evacuees in other cities haven't been as lucky. After big natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina, the federal government designated several host states that got funding to relocate evacuees. But with Hurricane Maria, only Florida got that designation. But hundreds of displaced Puerto Ricans showed up in cities across the country, including New York City and Philadelphia. Those cities were left to figure out how to find resources on their own. Many evacuees stayed in hotels using vouchers paid by FEMA. And as the vouchers were about to expire, a national Latino civil rights group filed a lawsuit to stop FEMA from ending the program. But a federal judge in Massachusetts ruled against it. And last Friday, more than 1,000 families were evicted from their hotels. In New York, almost 200 families are in homeless shelters. But that didn't happen here in Philly, where all of the evacuees staying in hotels were relocated to permanent housing by the end of June. No one here was sent to shelters.
This is the city of brotherly love. Like, that's what we're supposed to do.
Julia Manso works for Liberty Lutheran in Philadelphia. She's been coordinating the effort that made Philadelphia's response better.
I mean, everybody uses the cliche about building the plane while you're flying it. It is really what we had to do.
So this is what Philadelphia did. In most cities, government, disaster response organizations, and the Latino community work in coordination, but separately. In Philadelphia, they came together to create a new nonprofit with its own staff and bylaws. It's called the Long-Term Recovery Committee. That committee has become a one-stop shop for evacuees who need services like housing, jobs, or English classes. For example, Manso says people in this situation often get referred from one organization to another, and they have to share personal information over and over again.
By forming this committee, we were able to get some confidentiality agreements, and we were able to share information more freely with each other. But we also had then agreed to the understanding that we were keeping records private.
This also allowed them to avoid duplicating benefits and to prioritize them based on needs. Forming the committee wasn't easy at first. Councilwoman Maria Quiñones Sanchez says it took leadership, building trust, and setting egos aside.
People recognizing that this was bigger than all of us was hugely important.
Long-term recovery committees are usually created to help victims of local tragedies. Laura Olson is a research associate at the Center for Disaster and Community Resilience at Jacksonville State University. Her team thinks this is the first time this kind of coalition has been specially set up to help displaced communities far away from where the disaster happened.
So It's an adaptation of the model, and it's a way to meet the needs of evacuees.
Olson says as long as the federal government continues to offer few funds for people migrating after climate disasters like Maria, cities are going to have to learn ways to respond on their own.
Future groups in this situation can look at this example of what happened in Philadelphia and say, geez, you know, this is great. This is a tool we can use in the future.
As dinner gets ready at Lydia's house, her husband Pedro brings a guitar and starts playing a song. They tell me it's a song they've been singing as a family in church since before Hurricane Maria.
Calma, nunca pierdas la esperanza.
The lyrics say, stay calm, don't lose hope. God gives you blessings even when there are storms. Brian says it's funny they were singing these lyrics before, not knowing that one day they would become a kind of mantra.
It was present all the time, and then when we get here, we begin to live that.
Finally, dinner is ready. Lydia says a prayer and thanks God for this first meal together. They're finally back home. Catalina Jaramillo, WHYY News.